Hi. In this video, we will see what everyone who uses Word should know about Word. This is not a real deep dive into nuances of Word, but bare minimum you must know to use Word effectively. The idea is very simple. Whatever you do, you should get faster results, better results, but with minimal effort. And that's what we call as efficiency. Remember, content is your focus. Formatting, layout, look and feel is Word's job. You just inform Word what you want, and then it'll do it for you. In 2013, Word became capable of editing PDF files. Just go to File Explorer, right-click on a PDF file, and say Open with Word. Word will interpret that PDF file and allow you editing. Once the editing is finished, you can choose whether to save it as PDF or as Word. The concepts which I'm going to show you can be thought of as ingredients and recipes. Individual features are ingredients. First, we understand them. First, we understand how they behave, how to use them. But that's not all. Once you know that, you can combine those ingredients into more interesting recipes and get your job done more effectively. These are the areas I'm going to cover. From time to time, I'm going to show you these kind of links. You can go to my blog article. Typically, there will be a sample file which you can practice as well. Styles is the most important thing you need to know. Whenever you create a document, a new document from scratch, what we tend to do is this. I have an abstract written here. We will try to make it bigger, bolder, change the color and stuff like that, just to make it look like a heading. Now remember, that's not your job. Leave it alone, just click there and inform Word that this is my main heading. Similarly, this is also my main heading. This one is my subheading or subtopic. So main topic, subtopic and so on, up to 9 levels of headings are available. You do this while you are creating the document. Now let's see what happens after that. What are the benefits? I have a document which is 31 pages long and I have already used styles while creating it. Now what's the benefit? First benefit is navigation. You want to move around in the document. You don't scroll. You don't have to page down. You tell Word, let me navigate better. And now Word shows you all the headings. If I want to go to a particular place, I just click there. No scroll. Look at the content I have written. Obviously, results, recommendations, disclaimer, conclusions, these may not be in the correct order. For example, I want to show conclusions after results. So what am I doing? I just dragged and dropped. Disclaimer should be in the beginning, so I have put that on top. This is how you can reorder the document and your thoughts at any point of time with zero scrolling, selecting, and copy-paste. Obviously, we may want a table of contents, especially in formal documents. That's also easily done. Go to the beginning of the document and ask Word to create a table of contents. It's done instantly because Word knows the headings, and anyway, Word is managing the page numbers. Right now, this starts on page 1, but suppose I decide to put it on page 2, the table of contents doesn't understand it immediately. We have to go there and click on it and say update table and choose this. Now it will manage. What I just showed you is good for new documents. But what about hundreds of documents which you already have where you or other people around you have not used styles? This is a document which is manually formatted. How do you know that? Because when I click on what looks like a heading, the style applied is normal. That means the formatting has been done manually. Now, of course, I can click on this one by one, but that's going to take a long time because it could be a large document with 40 heading 1s and 45 heading 2s. I don't want to do that. Don't worry. Just click on one of the potential heading 1s. And in Home tab, Microsoft has created a very nice useful option called Select Text with Similar Formatting. Now Word will figure out which ones are those which have exactly the same formatting. And now you can apply Heading 1 in one stroke. Similarly, I may have to do this for heading 2 and 3, depending on the levels which are used in the document. And instantly, we have the navigation pane and all the other benefits. One more benefit of having styles is you can actually have numbers. So make sure your cursor is in one of the headings. Then go to this one, multi-level list, and choose this kind of heading. So what happened? Everything got nice numbering. And of course, drag drop will readjust numbering automatically. Now, although Microsoft has given you existing styles, you can create your own styles as well. So consider a situation where I have to create a frequently asked questions document. Obviously, it contains question followed by answer. Again, another question, another answer. Now, what I really want is not heading 1, heading 2. So what I've created is my own styles. This is a style. Let me start from scratch to show you. I'm writing a new question here. Now, this doesn't look like a question. This is normal style applied. So I will apply the question style to this. It looks like a question. It gets numbered. And when I press enter, obviously, I'm going to write an answer. So it automatically applies the answer style. How was this done? Look at the link and you will know the details. Sections is another absolutely powerful but completely unknown part of Word. Let's look at a common requirement. I have this document. This table is very wide, so I want to make this page landscape. So if I click inside that page, go to page layout and try landscape, it's not going to work. It's going to make all the pages landscape. If you go to the page setup dialog, same thing happens, but here you can notice that it's going to apply to the whole document. Why is this happening? Because unfortunately, nothing can be changed at a page level. Yes, this dialog is called page setup, but it is actually wrongly named, and that's done intentionally. The idea is very simple. A document doesn't contain pages directly. In between, there is another entity called sections. In fact, you can see that here at the bottom. When I create a new document, one section is created and then the first page is added to it. You may not see this here, so just right-click on the status bar and enable it. Now you are at least aware that all my pages are in the same section. And unfortunately or fortunately, nothing in this page setup can be changed per page, but it can be changed per section. So what do I have to do now? Right now I have just added a page here, just before and after the table, but that's not enough. What I have to do is just before the table, I have to add a new page and a new section. So that can be done from here. This is what we do traditionally, new page. This is what we should be doing, new page and new section. So now it looks like a new page was added, which is true, but a new section was also added. Similarly, I will do another section and page break after the table. So now we have section 1, which is red in color, section 2, which is the table page, and purple, which is section 3. I've used colors just for illustration. They don't mean anything from section point of view. Now I click in the second section, and now I can change it from here. But just for clarity, I'm going to change it from here because now it applies only to this section. Here is another example of using sections. I have a document with a long list of numbers. They are occupying very small width, so all this area is wasted. Ideally, I would like this to be having multiple columns. But if I do something with columns, it applies to the entire document, not just to the desired area. And now I'm sure you know why, because even columns can be applied only within a section. And right now, it is applying to the whole section. So what do? We go to the beginning of the list. And this time, we do want to add a section, but I don't necessarily want to add a new page. So this option will not work. We have to go to the next option, which basically adds a new section, but not a new page. The same page continues. I will do the same thing when the list ends, which is right here. Break. Section break continues. And now we have a section which contains this long list. So we can click anywhere inside it and now apply three columns. But as you can see here, three are not enough. We can actually apply many more columns. So I'm going to try six columns. And the job is done beautifully. Very often, we have to make formal documents. There has to be a title page. Typically, there would be a table of contents or acknowledgements, revision history kind of pages in the beginning. And the actual content starts somewhere down the line. When the actual content starts, we want the page numbering to start. But formal documents don't show the page number one right here. They actually start numbering from page two onwards. And we don't want any page numbering to happen on the initial pages before the actual content starts. Now, this is also an application of sections. So you go to this particular link and you will have a lot of articles explaining exactly what I have mentioned. You will also find a document template there for you to use. Now, tables is another important component of Word. So let's look at how tables can be managed easily. And I want a complex table to be created. So I will create a simple table first, but I want, let's say, some cells to be merged, then another block to be merged, something to be split. And that takes a long time. So I strongly suggest you go through every button, every menu option under design and layout. That will transform your life as far as tables are concerned. Now notice if I select some cells and then merge them, what I'm essentially doing is these vertical lines are getting erased. So rather than struggling with merge, what I can actually do is use the eraser. And then that eraser is context sensitive. You just touch or drag the eraser. Whatever it highlights will be erased. You can also use the draw option to do further refinement of what you have just got. Now let's look at tables which are already created. One of the most frustrating things is a table going outside the page. Don't worry about it. Don't do anything manually. That's called helping Word. Just go to layout menu, look at the options and see which one will help me fit this table. And obviously the answer is auto fit. Page is called a window in technical terms, so it's auto fit to window. Now in this case, there is a different problem. It is already fitting inside the page, but the distribution of space is not equal. Just click inside the table and say auto fit to contents and it'll do the job. This is good, but not the best option because this is a live setting. So while you are typing, it is auto adjusting, which is not a good idea. So when you have got it adjusted to what is desirable distribution of width, you freeze it by going to fixed column width, and now it will not trouble you. Another common problem is we want tables to look good. All of them should have good distribution of space. So this one is a double height row and these are single height rows. Click anywhere inside the table and click on distribute rows. Let Word find out the tallest row and make other rows taller. The only side effect of this is these got top aligned. You may want them to be center aligned and that requires you to select the table and then choose this option. Align center left. What does that mean? Vertically centered and horizontally left aligned. Very often a row breaks across pages. And then what happens? You get frustrated and you try to punish Word by pressing enter, splitting tables, creating new pages, all sorts of bad idea. What we really should be doing is telling Word, I don't want to break the row, and Word will follow your instructions. The only issue is we don't want to only specify that for one row because sooner or later some other row may break. So it's a good idea to select the whole table. Go to properties because we are changing the behavior of the table. We are not changing the look and feel. So go to properties and under rows section, there is a checkbox or an option which allows you to control what you want. The problem now is that the heading is not coming down. So no problem. Make sure your cursor is in the first row because if it is not in the first row, this option is inactive. Click there, click on it, and the job is done. But wait, we have not yet learned the feature. In many cases, the table header itself has multiple rows in it. That's why there is an option In fact, the option is called rows rather than row. So now we are making first two rows the headers. And obviously, when we change anything in the header, I'm just going to change the color in this case and make it a little larger. Obviously, it's going to do its job beautifully. Now that we have understood this, what are you going to do when you create a new table? You at least know two settings which are going to be beneficial to you in future. So first thing you do is make the first row header. And while the table is small, select everything, go to properties and say, don't allow rows to break across pages. Job done. We have learned, we have applied our knowledge proactively, which is good. But it is still not efficient. Why? Because this is going to be a repetitive activity. So how do we prevent that from happening? Select this table and we will save it like a template or sort of a reusable table, which is called Quick Tables. And then say save the selection to Quick Table Gallery. Notice the gallery is called Tables because it understood the selection is a table. And we can call it whatever I want. So I'll just call it Nitin's Table. And then click OK. Now what's the benefit of this? I can now go to any place in any Word document, new or existing, and say Insert Table, Quick Tables, and scroll down. I will have Nitin's Table here with all the properties preset. Of course, what I've shown is just a simple example. Ideally, what you should do is look at situations where you're opening existing documents and copy-pasting some tables. Make them quick tables and your life will be even more easy. Copy-pasting is a common but unreliable activity. Why does that happen? Because there are many ways of pasting data and the software doesn't know what you want, so what it does is the default action. But in many cases, you don't want the default action. You want whatever you pasted to automatically understand the surroundings and format itself accordingly. That doesn't happen. We get frustrated and then we try to do it manually with Format Painter and stuff like that, which is inefficient. Now notice, Microsoft is trying to tell you that if you didn't like what I did, you tell me I'm capable of doing this or this. So try these options on that icon and you will generally find what you want. Now, although this is very nice, notice I'm selecting multiple kinds of formatting and now pasting it here. And I'm directly now choosing keep text only. It works perfectly. The issue is if this is what you want by default, doing it again and again is also inefficient. So what do? One of those times, you say set default paste and tell Word once and for all that when I'm copy pasting, just keep text only. Now, while we are at this dialogue, just look at it. How many beautiful things are there. This was pasting only in the same document. There are other variations as well. And now what it will do is whenever you do a copy paste, it doesn't even ask you because it knows your preference. This is by no means everything I wanted to show you about copy-paste. In fact, I've written 19 articles about copy-paste, so I strongly suggest you go here and look at it. Now, like I have talked to you about quick tables, everything in Word is reusable. Like we have quick tables, we have quick text also. Where is that available from? Let me show you with a new document. For example, let's say I have created terms and conditions once, and next time onwards, I want quick insertion of this without opening an existing document. So just select them, go to insert, like we go to quick tables earlier and did quick tables. This is called quick parts. And then say save selection to quick part gallery. It picks up the name automatically. Job done. Now anywhere in Word, if you want this to be inserted, you just go there and here I want terms and conditions. So again, go here. Notice terms and conditions is available right here and you insert them exactly the way you want. This is called a quick parts gallery. This is called a quick tables gallery. Like that, there is a cover page gallery. There is a gallery for text boxes, which are beautifully designed for enhancing your white papers or reports or submissions of scientific journals or magazines. It also has a wide collection of galleries for headers and footers, and all these can be customized and your settings can be stored here as quick parts. Now, if you have entire document reusable, like a sales proposal or a typical submission to an agency or a statutory body, only the content changes a little bit, but the main heading, subheading structure remains the same. You save the document itself as a template. So we have parts of the document saved as quick parts and the entire document saved for reuse as a template. When it comes to fonts and colors, we shouldn't just use the default fonts and default colors which Microsoft gives you, because I'm sure your organization has some kind of branding. What you should do is look at your branding guidelines and go to design menu and look at these themes. There are lots of combinations given here. Notice that I'm changing this theme. It is changing the color and the fonts. A theme is a collection of 10 colors. These colors can be customized to your corporate colors. Even if you can't do that on day one, at least try to find a theme which matches your corporate colors. So let's say you found this theme, but the fonts are not matching. No problem. You can change the font theme also. Font theme basically contains two fonts. One is for headings and one is for regular text. So let's say this particular theme matched your branding guidelines. So now we have customized the colors, we have customized the fonts, and maybe you want to use this for all your future documents. So you can say save current theme as my company and create a template based on that and distribute it to everyone. Remember, this theme file can be used across Office products, not just for Word. There may be some features which you have been used to for a long time, but suddenly Microsoft makes a change and you get confused. So let me explain what happens then. The best example to give in this case is Find. All of us know that Find was Control F in the good old days. But instead of getting this dialogue now, what it does is it gives you this particular dialogue for Find, and we get irritated saying, why did Microsoft change it? So remember, if it's irritating, even Microsoft knows that 1.5 billion people are going to get irritated. And in spite of that, they have done some change. That means it has to be good for you. It's just a question of discovering why it is good for you. For example, I'm searching for a particular word. In this situation, what I would have done is I would have to find that word one by one, and I would have no clue how many times the word would appear. I would keep clicking on find next till I find the next one, which is very bad and time consuming. Now, if I press the Control F new way, notice I have typed the word here and it's telling me how many times it has appeared, which itself is a great thing. Because if it was 200 times, then I would not search on it anyway. I would search on a different term. Not only that, it is giving me those 11 sentences. This particular sentence is page 22. This one is page 12. So it has gone through the entire document. So maybe the exact place where you want it to go to, you may find right here rather than scrolling and searching find next. But that's not all. Look at this section. Nobody looks at it. What is it showing now? It is showing you only those pages where the word is found. Of course, this is a thumbnail, so you can't really see it in great detail. But you can at least see that little bit of yellow color. Here it seems like there are a couple of times this has appeared. But without even clicking on it, you can easily see that on this particular page, there are many instances of it. What is the benefit practically? If I'm looking at where I have discussed that particular topic, I should go directly to that page. That is how it shows you the distribution or density of that word or phrase. And that's not all. Even in headings, it'll tell you under which headings it has found that word. How is it useful? Well, in this case, the absence is more important than the presence. For example, if I'm writing a document about efficiency as a concept, how could I have not mentioned that word at all under results and methodology? So it shows you omissions and it shows you the distribution of a thought process across the document. This is how you discover your benefits behind every feature, and that thought process is called efficiency. Now, there are many things we do with others. We cannot just write a document ourselves, and there are lots of people involved, you may use track changes. And let me show you what happens with track changes. If it is track changes with multiple people, it becomes extremely confusing. It becomes too cluttered. So Microsoft made it simpler. You notice this gray line here? Just click on it. Now that simplifies everything and it shows you what would happen if you accept changes made by everyone. It's if. It has not accepted any change. It has just hidden it. You can also do it from review tab here and say simple markup. If you say all markup, we are back to what it was earlier. If no markup, that means how it would look final. And original means what you originally wrote. So generally keep it in simple markup and on demand, open it and close it. That simplifies the situation. Remember, the comments also have a nice little integration with Skype for Business now. So if you go there and you don't like this comment, rather than struggling and writing something about the comment, check if this person is online, you can chat with that person and finish it off. That is the kind of integration Microsoft gives you across Office platform. There is a nice way in which same document can be edited by multiple people at the same time. Now, to make that happen, the document has to be stored in a special place called OneDrive or SharePoint. I have a document here which I am editing in Word. My name is Nitin. I have also shared this document with someone else, and that person called Demo has opened that document on a browser. I'm going to open this document in browser. Now, two people are editing the same document. Notice it informed me that someone else is editing the document on the browser as well. If I go to my document here, I will see two icons here. I will actually see the person. Even from here, I can chat with the person. But now, the important part is, if I am editing something, I don't want another person overwriting what I am doing even before I have had a chance to finish my editing. So, I am just going to type something here. So, the moment I start typing, a dotted line came around this area. And now, at the same time, I am going to go to the browser. I am just arranging them side by side that you can see both. Notice what happened here. It is not showing me what I have written, but it is blocking me. If I click here, notice all my menus have deactivated. I cannot type anything. It is saying this paragraph is locked by Nitin, which is on the left side of your screen. This is the kind of beautiful integration and simultaneous editing which is available in Word as well as PowerPoint. This allows you to have inputs from multiple people, create a better quality document much, much faster, without sending any CCs to each other, waiting for them to reply and copy-pasting it again and again. I have enabled track changes, send it to another party. They are making some changes and of course those changes would be visible. But if the other party is smart, they can actually stop tracking changes and make changes which I would typically miss because those are not tracked. And then they would enable track changes again and make few other changes. So when I get the document, I will accept and miss this particular thing. And we know this can happen, though, so we end up spending time in comparing the original and revised in spite of using track changes, which is height of inefficiency. The idea is, if you want to track changes, you should be the one who should be able to control it, not the other party. And that is done from here. You just say track changes and say lock tracking. And then put a password and don't give this password to others. In older versions, this was a little more difficult. You had to go to restrict editing, choose allow only this type of editing, choose track changes, and then give the password. Now it has become simpler. Another important thing which happens, which is quite risky, is you may have something in the document which you don't want to reveal when you send the document outside. It could be properties of the document, a comment which you forgot to remove. It could be some hidden text. It could be track changes. All sorts of things can be potentially dangerous. That can be managed by using a beautiful feature called Document Inspector. So here is a document which has a watermark, it has track changes, it has comments and so on. It also has some properties which I don't want to expose to external world. All that I have to do is start noticing that when you open a document under info, Word is automatically checking for these potentially dangerous things and informing you that they are there. If you want to remove them, just go to Inspect Document and click on Inspect. It will show you what are the potentially offending things, and then you just say Remove All. Now, while doing this, please be careful. In some cases, you may want the original document to have these, but when you are sending it outside, you want to clean it out. So make sure you make a copy of the document before doing this. So the best way of doing that is right-click on the document and say Open a Copy so that you are safer. And finally, I will show you two things which are integration across products. Remember, we started with this style document. Now someone says, I want a presentation based on this document. You will manually create a presentation, go slide by slide and copy paste the headings there. Obviously, that's a bad idea. So what should you do? Right click on the ribbon, add a beautiful button there from all commands, type S, page down, page down, page down, till you find an option called Send to PowerPoint. Add it there, and now in one click, Word will create presentation. Everything which was heading 1 became a new slide. Everything which was heading 2 onwards became bullets. Before we proceed with this presentation, select all the slides and click on the reset button. Another beautiful feature is linked notes in OneNote. Now I have a peculiar requirement where I have a document. I want to read the document. I want to take notes about the document, but I don't want to write inside that document. So what do? I go to OneNote, create a new page, and I ask OneNote to shrink itself on one side of the screen so that the rest of it, I can see the document. And now I can scroll the document wherever I want, and I can look at various aspects of this document. And if I find something interesting, I can just click there. Notice I'm on abstract, and I'm just typing what I feel like. Notice I'm not copy-pasting anything. As soon as I start typing, I get a Word icon. Now I'm continuing to scroll the document, and maybe I find something else interesting in that document. So I'm going to again go and highlight something this time because I found this sentence interesting. And now I'm going to write my own thing there. So like this, I can go on. And when I finished, I'm going to close the document. In fact, it doesn't matter, even Word is closed. Now, when I come back to these notes, I'm just going to go full screen. So I'm back to notes. These notes mean nothing to me. But even though we didn't do any copy paste, OneNote understands Word, and it has actually shown me that particular sentence here, as well as this sentence. But if I click there, it's going to actually open the document and take my cursor to that particular place, wherever it is, and it is going to highlight the required paragraph as well. That is called linked notes. It works with Word as well as PowerPoint. It also works with Internet Explorer, but it just takes you to the relevant web page. It doesn't go to a particular place in the web page. All that I'm asking you to do is, while you're working, start exploring all the features available, either through right-click or just observing the ribbon and having little more curiosity. With that exploration, it's very easy to learn the benefits behind every available feature. Obviously, when you learn, you are smart enough to use it to your advantage, and you will end up teaching it to people around you. And then everyone grows faster. So that's all we have time for in this video. As I have told you, this is my blog site, efficiency365.com. Go there, have a look, subscribe to it, and share it with your colleagues. You can also follow me on Twitter. And if you have any specific questions, feel free to send me a mail. If you are sending me a question, try to attach a sample file so that I can answer your queries more precisely. Thank you.